Welcome back to the Tanakh Study Center series on Neviim Rishonim. Today our shir will focus on Shmuel Aleph, chapters 18 through 20. And as usual, our series is sponsored by the Cypress Foundation, together with the OU, the Orthodox Union, and the Nachyomi Project. In today's shir, we're going to see how the prophetic purpose of this section will be to explain to the reader how the hand of God is behind the complex events that take place over several years as Shaul is chasing after David. To appreciate the way the Navi presents these events, we have to return to the conclusion of our last share that identified a new unit in chapter 17. Let's begin with a quick review of the main point of our last share. In our last share, we explained that chapter 17 begins a new unit in Sefer Shmuel. The prophet who wrote those chapters we identified as Gad HaChozeh, because this unit from chapter 17 to the end of Shmuel Aleph describes the rivalry between Shaul and David. The protagonist of this unit is David HaMelech. The antagonist is Shaul. And from a prophetic point of view, the Navi is coming to explain to the reader how time after time, when Shaul tries to kill David, David is always saved in one form or other, and it's the hand of God behind the way that he is saved. Now, a casual observer might view those same events and give different reasons for David's success. The job of the Navi is to explain to the reader that it is the hand of God that allows David to become so successful. In contrast to this new unit, the previous unit, which began in chapter 13 and concluded in chapter 16, that was a unit which we attributed to the Navi Shmuel. Shmuel's job was not only to establish a kingdom, but to make sure that the first king, Shaul, followed the ways of God. However, because of the faults of Shaul and the mistakes that he made in not listening to God, God makes a second decision to take away the kingdom that first he gave to Shaul and give it to someone else, later to be identified as David. For that reason, the focus of those chapters was not necessarily on the life of Shaul and on his military accomplishments. Those were mentioned as an aside. The focus instead was on the reason why Shaul lost his kingdom, his critical flaws and his mistakes. That's why the last section explained in detail Shaul's sin against Amalek and God's decision after that sin to give the kingdom to someone else. The concluding chapter of that unit began with the anointing of David by Shaul. Afterwards, that chapter concludes with one final story, which we suggested may have happened many years later, and that's a story of Shaul asking for a harp player. Ironically, it's David who is chosen to become that harp player, and it is exactly the Ruach Hashem Ra'ah which is causing Shaul to fumble. And that's the prophet's explanation of why things go wrong for Shaul. And it's exactly the Ruach Hashem Tova, which the prophet explains is the reason why David is so successful. It's those two characters and those two manifestations of God's hand behind the events that meet when David becomes that harp player. This explains why that story, even though it may have taken place later, concludes the section written by Shmuel. And that section comes to explain how it's because of God's decision to take away the kingdom from Shaul that David becomes so successful and is able to survive. One other point we should have noted in our last share, to support the fact that the end of chapter 16 forms the closure of this unit. If you recall in Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, we read how Yishai sends a present with David when he sends him to become the harp player. Listen to what the present includes. Vayikach Yishai chamor lechem beno diayin ugdi izim echad, vayishlach biyad David beno el Shaul. Yishai sends lechem, bread, and yain, wine, and gdizim, and a goat. If we remember, when Shaul was first anointed, and Shmuel gave him some signs to know that he is the appointed one, the second sign is the three men which he is supposed to meet on their way up to Beit El, and again, they're carrying gdizim, the goat, they're carrying yain, and they're carrying lechem. It's those signs which first indicated to Shaul that he's going to become king. Now, we're sending them with David, and that may relate to the fact that this is the beginning of the transfer of the kingdom from Shaul to David. So to summarize, the main point of the concluding unit is the reason for the events that are going to follow in this book is the Ruach Hashem Ra'ah and Ruach Hashem Tova. To prove how that Ruach Hashem Ra'ah and Ruach Hashem Tova determines the outcome of these events, Sefer Shmuel brings now a new unit from chapter 17 on, written by a different Navi, to show how those events played themselves out. In regard to the chronology, I'd also like to bring another proof of what we talked about in the last year. If indeed David is a teenager at the time when he kills Goliath, that would give us about 10, 12 years in which all the events in chapters 17 through the end of Shmuel Aleph take place. Because we know when Shaul dies, David is 30 years old. That's a pasuk in Shmuel Bet Perakeh. When David becomes king, we're told he becomes king at age 30 in the city of Hebron. That takes place after the death of Shaul. If David was a, say, teenager when he kills Goliath, that would give 10 to 12 years for all the events that unfold. And when we read those events in our study of the next several chapters, we'll see that that forms a very good time frame for these events, because we're going to find Shaul first being angry with David, and then being kind to him again, and then again losing his temper, and then calling him back again. If we have 5 to 10 years for these events to transpire, it makes a lot of sense. If we try to squeeze all these events into 2 years, it's almost impossible for that to be explained in pshat. Now let's return to our study of what transpires in chapters 18 through 20. In the beginning of chapter 18, we see how Shaul begins his jealousy of David. We explained in our last year that when the women came singing the song of victory, that Shaul smote the thousands and David the 10,000s, that type of a song and that type of attitude among the people, that's what made Shaul so angry, and that began the rivalry between the two. I'd like to identify 3 stages in Shaul's anger and rivalry with David. Stage number 1, Shaul keeps his feelings to himself. Shaul decided, I want to get rid of David, but he doesn't want anyone to know about it. Because David is such a popular hero, it would not look good for Shaul simply to have him executed. Shaul would rather dispose of David in a manner which would look accidental. Therefore, in chapter 18, we're going to find that Shaul tries to kill David in a way that no one will realize that he's behind it. In chapter 18, we're going to find 3 examples of this. Example number 1 is when he takes his spear and he throws it against the wall. If you look at the pasuk in Perek Yud Chet, pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayetal Shaul Tachanit, Shaul took his spear, Vayomer, and he said, Akeb David Ubekir, I'm going to hit the wall and David. And then, Vayisov David Mipanep Amayim. What does that mean? Shaul wants to make it look like an accident. He's losing his temper, he has this Ruach Hashem Ra'ah. In the midst of his anger, he takes his spear, throws it against the wall, hoping to make it look like an accident. And he'll look surprised, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that David was standing right there. And that's what he means. He says to himself, I'm going to hit David and the wall, meaning he's going to make it look like an accident. To prove this, when David is able to get away from the spear, he doesn't run away, because he also thinks it's an accident. Only Shaul realizes that God's with him. Look at the next pasuk, in pasuk Yudbet, Vayira Shaul milifnei David kayashem imo, v'mim Shaul sar. That's exactly the prophetic point of the whole unit. Now even Shaul realizes that God is with David. It doesn't stop him from his attempt to kill David, but that for sure is the point that the Navi wants to make, that God is trying to show Shaul, wake up, I'm with David, and listen to what Shmuel told you. After that first attempt failed, Shaul tries something else. Again, in chapter 18, Shaul is trying to kill David without anyone realizing that he's behind it. The next thing Shaul does, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, takes him away from the court and sends him back to the front lines. He makes him Sara Elef, he makes him a general over 1,000 soldiers, hoping maybe he'll die in battle. And that doesn't work either, because the more David is at the battlefield, the more and more popular he becomes, as described in the next 2 psukim, in Pasuk Tedvav and Tetzayin. Then Shaul has another idea. He wants David to die, trying to bring some dowry for his daughter Michal, of 100 dead plishtim. David agrees. In fact, he brings back 200. And Shaul was hoping that David would die in that attempt. Instead, he becomes more and more popular, more and more successful. To summarize this point, and again, the prophetic point of the unit, we read in Pasuk Chavchet, Vayar Shaul v'yeda ki Hashem im David, u'michal bat Shaul ahevato. He saw again that Hashem was with him. Also, his own daughter loved him very much. And again, Shaul continued to fear from David and became more and more angry. And again, David, in everywhere he went, he became more and more successful in battle. At this point, Shaul realizes he can't do it by himself. He's unable to make David die in an accidental form. He has to get some help. That brings us to chapter 19, where he's not going to tell the entire nation. Instead, he's going to have a closed cabinet meeting, with his closest men, his closest advisors. He brings Yonatan and all his close servants and advisors, and they decide in a secret meeting to kill David. That's the beginning of chapter 19. This would be in contrast to what will take place from chapter 21, where it becomes public knowledge that Shaul wants David to be put to death. Therefore, we're going to find in chapters 19 and 20 how Shaul tries to conspire together with his closest advisors to kill David. He's hoping that his own son Yonatan will help him. And ironically, it's Yonatan who's so friendly with David who saves David from his father. When David returns to the court and he begins to play the harp again, Shaul tries one more time to do the same thing he did the first time, to hit the wall in David in Pasuk Yud. In verse 10, Vayvakei Shaul lakot b'chanit v'David avakir. Again, Shaul tried to hit the wall and David with his spear. Vayiftar mipnei Shaul. David again did a small flip and got away from it. V'David nas v'malek b'laylo. Then David ran away. The second time, Shaul tries the same trick. David's smart enough and realizes that's not an accident anymore. He means this for real, and David has to run away. The king Shaul sends his men to arrest him in the morning. Luckily, he works together with his wife, Michal. She stuffs the pillows. He runs away at night. In the morning, they can't find him. Afterwards, he runs away to Shmuel. From this point on, David knows, or at least assumes, that Shaul is out to kill him. Yonatan is going to try to bring him back to the palace again to try to talk some sense into his father. As we'll see in chapter 20, he won't be successful. And from this point on, David is going to have to run away for the rest of his life until Shaul dies. It's interesting why David runs away to Shmuel after this event. I think the obvious reason is that Shmuel was the one who anointed him. David is very troubled. If he's supposed to become king, what's taking so long? I think he goes to Shmuel for guidance, and also he's going to Shmuel for protection, hoping that Shaul would not have the audacity to go send someone to Shmuel to take David away. Shaul does send some men to arrest David at Shaul's residence. He sends group after group, and again, each group that comes is unable to take David because they're taken over by this Ruach Hashem, by the Nevi'im, who are being taught by Shmuel. Finally, David realizes he has to run away, and David runs away from Na'ot, and he meets Yonatan again and tries to understand what's going to be. Yonatan and David make a treaty that they'll be faithful to one another no matter what happens in the set of events. Yonatan, in chapter 20, tries to talk some sense into his father, but to no avail, and that's the famous Haftarah that we read, called Machar Chodesh, where they have a very complicated set of signals where they're able to get messages to one another. To conclude our share on this unit, I'd like to discuss one technical problem in the story of Machar Chodesh, in the story of the arrows, which is known to most of us because it's the Haftarah that we read whenever Rosh Chodesh comes out on Sunday. Yonatan has a whole complicated set of signals so that David will know whether the coast is clear or not. He tells him, if the arrows go this way, this means it's safe. The arrows go this way, that means it's dangerous and run away. Sure enough, Yonatan talks to his father at the Rosh Chodesh meal. He realizes that his father has decided to kill David. He can no longer talk sense into him. Therefore, Yonatan has to give a message to David to run away. And he follows the plan, shoots the arrows where he said he would, and that should be a sign for David to run away. But surprisingly enough, after he sends that signal and David should run away, they go and meet each other. If the whole reason for the complicated signals was so they could communicate without having to see each other, how can they sit and talk to each other? It seems to me that Yonatan is using a backup plan. Yonatan knows that his father is going to follow him. Maybe not his father himself, but his father will be sending one of his helpers or advisors to follow Yonatan because he knows that if we follow Yonatan, there's a good chance we'll find David. Yonatan was worried that he'd be followed by maybe a spy, maybe his young man who's shooting arrows with. And just in case he notices he's being watched, or just in case his nar, his assistant, won't leave him, he has to have a signal where David will know to run away. But after he sends a signal, and he sends his nar away, and the nar goes away, and he looks around and sees no one's watching, Yonatan has a couple minutes to go meet David quickly and secretly before anyone can follow them, and David's able to run away. After this event, David runs away to Novi Arkoanim. This will be the topic in our next share. However, to conclude our share today, we should note that after these events, it becomes public knowledge, at least Shaul thinks it's public knowledge, that David is running away from Shaul, that Shaul wants him put to death. Shaul considers him Morid B'Malchut. That'll be a topic of our next year. But what we saw today is how slowly these events unfold, how first Shaul wants to kill David and make it look like an accident, Then he tries to keep it as a close government decision to kill David. Later on, it's going to become public knowledge that David is enemy number one of the government.